When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
And welcome, everyone, to another edition of Orlando Magic Pod Squad. And Magic Pod Squad is brought to you by the Florida Department of Transportation. They remind you that fans don't let fans drive drunk. If you've been drinking, don't get behind the wheel. Instead, find a sober driver or catch a ride service. Remember, drive sober or get pulled over. Have a great night and drive safe. On this edition of Magic Pod Squad, we catch up with the president of basketball operations, Jeff Weltman, kind enough to join us, and we get into everything. His thoughts after two preseason games, how the Magic are progressing coming out of training camp, his expectations for the team going into this season, a little bit on his background, and then kind of the mystery man. Jeff Weltman gives his thoughts on Bol Bol and what Magic fans can expect from him and why they should be super excited about Magic rookie Paolo Banchero, Wendell Carter Jr., Franz Wagner, and the rest of the Magic. So lots of reasons to be very optimistic for this Magic team this year. Jeff Weltman breaks it all down on the latest edition of Magic Pod Squad.
This is Franz Wagner of the Orlando Magic.
This is Cole Anthony.
This is Jalen Suggs.
This is Paolo Banchero of the Orlando Magic, and you're listening to the Pod Squad.
And welcome, everyone, to another edition of Orlando Magic Pod Squad. Dante Marcatelli here with you, David Steele, Jeff Turner, George Galante. We're pleased to be joined by Magic President of Basketball Operations, Jeff Weltman, kind enough to join us. This is prior to preseason game number three. The Magic will visit the Mavericks tonight. So, Jeff, I ask you, as you wake up in Dallas and get ready to go about your day, your level of excitement to join Pod Squad, closer to one, closer to a 10, like where – when you see this on the calendar, where does it rank?
I've been in Vegas the last 3 days watching Victor Wembanyama and Scoot and all those guys, and all I could think about was the Pod Squad.
We appreciate that. We appreciate it. Same here for the last couple of days. Well, let us know then. You are out there in Vegas. I don't know how much you can get into and can't, but just the scene. It seemed like there were probably your counterparts from every NBA team on hand to watch those games. It must have been quite a scene out there in Vegas.
It really was. Honestly, I don't think we've ever seen kind of a game set up like this, where you have like this top international prospect who's actually team comes to the States at this time of the year and plays, you know, a G League Ignite team, which is kind of like that hybrid, you know, college pro team. And so it was such an interesting scouting opportunity to see such an elite level, two elite level prospects, but one of them being international on American soil in the fall. So it really, I don't think it's happened before. And obviously there's so much buzz around, you know, the draft and those prospects. And so, yeah, the whole league descended on it. Obviously it's a lot of fun for the fans, and those guys didn't disappoint.
Hey, Jeff, I know you can't comment specifically due to NBA regulations on players, but just in general, you know, you've been around a long time. You've been watching, you've been scouting drafts and players. At this early point, it's still early, but we know Wembanyama is going to get a lot of attention. But the draft overall for next year, how does it look compared to historically what you've seen at this point?
Yeah, I mean, this is going to be a very strong draft, especially, in the upper reaches of it. Obviously, the rest of the draft will flesh itself out as the season goes forward. But there are already several, I would say, you know, high level prospects that have been identified, you know, in the upper reaches of the draft. So I think it's going to be a lot of talent at the top. I think it's going to be deep. There are a lot of guys that we're really eager to track as the season goes on. Our scouts kind of were all in Vegas, and now they've all filtered out to pro days and practices. And, you know, we're already kind of, you know, beating the scouting trail, trying to put our first group of tiers together and understand how we see the draft shaking out a little bit. But it's going to be a fun draft this year. I think there are going to be a number of players. And obviously for us, we're excited because we have two picks. So you know, we'll have our own and we'll have Chicago's. So, you know, we'll, you know, do as always, the best we can at uncovering, every possible prospect, walking down every road and seeing every guy, and hopefully we'll be in good shape when the draft comes.
Jeff, I know we've talked to you about the draft and everything that goes into it, but I am just amazed. Like the last couple of games, you know, as I'm working, doing radio with Jake Chapman, you know, you're preparing for the game, and David and I laugh about this all the time. You start to realize how young these guys are, right? Like San Antonio last night had four guys that are 19 years old. So you start putting your play sheet together, and you write down these guys were born in 2003. Like, you know, it's absolutely crazy. Just like how difficult is it scouting these guys when they're so young?
Yeah. You mean like coming into the draft, you mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, obviously the shorter the track record, you know, the shorter the history, the more difficult it becomes. And so it becomes more important that you're able to, you know, see kind of, you know, the events that the league allows us to see, you know, prep school events. And obviously we need to, you know, do a good job on our intel and background collection. But yeah, I mean, JT, like the less you can see a guy, the more challenging it becomes. And, you know, that's why those visits during the draft become important, you know, getting to know the person, not just the player, and understanding, you know, the motivation and the competitiveness and the team orientation and all of those things that feed into, you know, separating guys out in our league. They become really important. But you're right, man. I mean, it's kind of that's where the league is going. We're trying to identify these guys and, you know, bring them up the right way. And it's interesting, you know, a game like last night, I was just able to watch it this morning. You understand the value of veteran guys, not so much in their physicality as it was like in the old days, like you couldn't come in. It was a grown man's league, so to speak, but more just in their understanding of like role orientation and, you know, what it takes to win in this league. So particularly in preseason, you're seeing a lot of these guys get reps that probably won't during the regular season, but it does become more challenging for sure.
I didn't feel old at all until you said that. I felt like I was in a good place. Now I just want to go cry. Like I need to feel older. But so Jeff, just talk about our roster a little bit. We have, I mean, we're young too, still 11 guys on the roster that are 24 years or under, which is amazing. What have you seen so far in the, you know, training camp and the first couple of games that's intriguing to you so far?
Yeah, I was told we're the second youngest team in the league, so we are for sure pretty young. You know, look, I think that we're right where we left off last year. We're continuing, you know, the work that we did last year. We're rolling out the same guys. We didn't trade future draft picks. We didn't go sign, you know, significant veteran free agents. We brought our team back. We want to allow these guys to develop their own through line, show us who they're going to be. We have obviously a lot of decisions ahead of us. So we are young and we're going to stay young. You know, we're going to let these guys learn on the fly. And so with that, you know, you're going to have a lot of figuring out. You're going to have a lot of, you know, understanding what it takes to win. And you can see some guys overthinking a little bit and, you know, not sure exactly like where to be. But the thing that I've seen of our team that I really like is a lot of the I don't want to call them mistakes, but a lot of the figuring out, a lot of the uncertainties that you're seeing kind of show up as like overpassing, not sure when to cut, you know. And basically what that is those guys are understanding that it's their job to make their teammates better. And they're trying to figure out how that works in the NBA, you know. So I'm encouraged by what I've seen so far. I think that, you know, there's just a lot of kind of, you know, unfamiliarity with the players regarding the chemistry. And there's a lot of figuring out, like, how do I give this guy space? Do I drift to the corner? Do I cut through? So it's all stuff that these guys are already understanding. Like, it's not about me. It's about how do I make my teammate better and how do we win? And so I've been really encouraged by it. Obviously, you know, we're looking forward to getting Markell and Gary back. I think that'll, you know, impact the way we look significantly. But, you know, it's preseason basketball. We missed three practices. And, you know, I think some clunkiness with those considerations and with our age profile, you know, are to be expected. But I think we've seen a lot of good things and exciting things. And, you know, there remains a great sense of optimism, you know, amongst our group.
You know, Jeff, I'd be interested. There's a couple of times I've talked to Paolo, and we all have. And you hear him talk, and you talk to him, and you just walk away and say, "Boy, I get it. I get it with this guy. He's a very bright individual." And then, oh, by the way, 6'10", 250, 260, 270. I mean, who knows how big he really is? What are the things that impressed you the most with Paolo, and what are your conversations with him like?
Paolo is so talented, and he so understands, you know, the big picture. He's a really smart guy, and he understands, you know, the different levels that he's going to have to go through to become the player he wants to become. And you have to, like, understand the pressure that he puts on himself, you know. So with trying to unroll the big picture and all those things that come with that, here's a guy who wants to go out and play well every night, you know, and he's always kind of been that guy, you know. If he's not playing well, he feels that he lets his teammates down. And so he puts pressure on himself. And those are all great traits. Like, those are traits that you want, you know. So I think that I watch Paolo, and Paolo's been the best player everywhere he's been, you know, the best player on his team and probably the best player maybe even in that whole level. And so now he gets to the NBA and he has to figure out, like, how does this all work? What about when I don't have the ball in my hands, and how do I, you know, make my teammates better and doing all these little things. And so I'm so excited by the way he's approached that without any kind of individual ego, with an understanding towards learning and listening. And he's so coachable. He's so smart. And so I think, you know, Paolo's going to be great. And I think he's, you know, as you said, you know, when you walk away, you just get it, because he gets it, you know? So again, 19 years old, you know, but I think even in these games, he's already done some really, really impressive things. And you know, obviously we feel he has a really bright future in front of him, and the way he's going to blend in with the team is really exciting.
Jeff, as you've watched him in these first two games, do you get a sense for where position wise he can be most effective? Whether it's obviously he's a versatile player, but is it too early to tell yet? Or have you gotten some signals that he might be more, you know, might be a better fit at one position over another, or a couple over another?
You know, David, it's a great question. I would say at this point, and maybe that's a question as much for Mo's, but yeah, is that we are kind of an experimentation mode right now. And, you know, even you can see it reflected in the lineups, like the starting lineups and the combinations that coach is putting on the floor. I think that this is a feeling out process, to say the least. I think it's going to continue to be that way even into the season. I'll say that without Markell and Gary, those are variables that even further that. So, but I think that's part of what this year is going to be. And I think part of what we're hoping is that between, you know, Paolo and Franz and, you know, even some of the other guys, There's so much versatility that the positional part will kind of figure itself out, but it's more, how do I play with this guy? If I'm at the three, if I'm at the four, if I'm at the five, the coaches have talked about putting some of these big guys at the two. Some, it's like, how do I play with these guys, I think, is the real question. And we're hoping to move past positions. You know, I mean, that's part of what we like about a lot of these guys, is like good feet, good IQ, team orientation with the right defensive concepts. We're hoping to be at a place where that question almost becomes irrelevant, but that's going to take time, and it's going to take time for our coaches to study it. And it's going to take time for the players to understand it. And it's going to take a lot of reps of those guys playing with one another.
If we got to see Franz for the first time last night against San Antonio, obviously rested against Memphis because of his schedule over the summer. You just talked about the versatility of the lineups. Franz being on the floor makes a big difference. Could you see Franz playing maybe at the two or even at the one at times? You see that kind of versatility in his game?
Yeah, again, I mean, JT, it's such a good question, because it's almost kind of like what David was alluding to. I think that even last year, we kind of saw Franz assume some of those responsibilities. I mean, I don't know, Franz is so good in pick and roll, and he's such a good decision maker, and he knows when to attack the middle and what that's going to do. And he knows, when to get rid of the ball. And yeah, I mean, I think like the coaches have talked about playing some of those big guys on the ball. And again, I'll kind of like resist a little bit to say that means he's the one or that means he's the two, but just to say like what we want to get to is a place where that ball moves and you just have playmaker, draw and kick, finish, punish and mismatch. That's where we want to get. And I think that Franz has shown such growth in such a short time. I think that what I'm seeing in Franz already is kind of almost an impatience with mistakes, with not getting it, Franz is a super competitive guy. He's a super smart kid and a super smart player. And, these are all signs of growth. And I look, we look for these signs from all of our players, so that's the phase of the team where we are right now. And it's exciting to see that, I think it's fun. And I think hopefully it's fun for the fans.
How much did Eurobasket help Franz this summer? I mean, he really seemed to take his game to a different level. I mean, he was doing that anyway during the season. You could see him improving last year, but then he got to Eurobasket and maybe even something else clicked.
Yeah, I mean, obviously better to ask him than me, but I think that, Franz is so hungry to win. And so he's so hungry to compete. So, the thing about Eurobasket and a lot of those international tournaments, we've talked before about that tightrope that you walk, where you don't want guys to, get fatigued entering the season. You obviously don't want to run the risk of injury, but there's also the other side, which is, wow, it's great competition. I mean, it's high level competition, it's high level coaching. There are a lot of NBA and upper echelon European players involved. And to see, a young guy like Franz walk into a situation like that, and European basketball is different. It's much more physical. It's much more set play execution based. It's kind of like more old school NBA grown man basketball. And to see a guy like walk into that and do what Franz did this summer, can't help but mature you and bring you back to the league with a different perspective.
Jeff, I'm also watching last night. I'm watching Wendell Carter Jr. And, I know David and Jeff rave on him every broadcast. And 23 years old again, right? And kind of last year was his first full year of kind of going through the role that you had him in for last year. But you look at all the things he can do, the little pocket pass he left for Paolo last night. He's a great passer. He can shoot it. What's next for Wendell? And how happy are you with what you got in that big man?
Oh my, I mean, and Dante, the first thing whenever you talk about Wendell that you have to say before you even touch on that is just like, what an amazing person he is.
Right, exactly.
He's like, greatest teammates I've been around. You know, he just, he's all about others. And, you know, the old, you know, you can tell a personality by the way, by the player. I mean, you know, he plays that way. The way he plays is the way he is. And so, yeah, look, his game took a huge leap last year. I think like last night shows that he's ready to take another leap. You know, he's put in so much work. He really brings people together. He cares about winning first and foremost. I mean, his game can grow in so many ways. I mean, the way he's getting off screens now, he's recognizing, you know, pick and roll at such a high level right now, like where the opportunities are going to form. He's developing chemistry. And obviously, he's such an elite level defender. He does so many things off the ball that will never hit a box score. You know, to have that guy kind of be your defensive glue is, you know, it's so exciting for us. And just, you know, as you said, Dante, he's young, he's growing. He only cares about winning. And, you know, just an amazing young guy, man. Really happy to have him.
With Markell and Gary out to start the season, a lot is on Jalen and Cole, a couple of very young guards. What have you seen from those two young players, and what are realistic expectations for Jalen and Cole this year?
Well, you know, I think Jalen was a little behind the eight ball because he had, you know, surgery as soon as the season was over, and he didn't get the full summer that that sophomore summer is so important, you know, and Jalen really didn't get a full complement of that, you know, so he's just kind of like ramped up to get his full level conditioning. And I think you can still see sometimes a little bit of that, you know, blending in, but knocked down a couple threes last night. His defense is always at an elite level. And I think as he kind of like just continues to get reps, you know, he played half a season his rookie year and kind of had a truncated summer. I think as he continues to get those reps, I think you'll see the rest of his game round out, but you can see where his game is going. You know, just to say that you have that guy on the ball defensively with Wendell kind of anchoring the paint. And then you have, you know, the shot profile developing, and as his game matures and he figures out more, you know, gets more reps and figures out where the tricks are. And like, that's what the NBA is about. Right. So I think you can see where Jalen's game is going. And I thought Cole played very well against Memphis. And then, you know, like last night he was one for 11. So it's hard to say like he played well going one for 11, but I think Cole, even when you talk to him now, you sense a greater maturity. I think he's understanding like, hey, take a breath once in a while, you know, catch your breath, less can be more, and, you know, knock down your open shots. And it's easy to talk to guys about that, but, you know, now Cole's going into year three. I think he's starting to understand that, and it's not going to be, you know, from 0 to 100, but I think it's going to be, he's making progress in that direction. So, you know, kind of excited to track him this season.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between award-winning mattress brand Leesa and home design favorite West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is the culmination of these two companies' shared values: premium materials, meticulous craftsmanship, and sustainable practices. Made with natural latex, responsibly sourced natural wool, and environmentally safe foams, the Natural Hybrid elevates your sleep sanctuary. Indulges your senses and supports a greener tomorrow. Plus, when you purchase the Natural Hybrid, you're also helping fuel Leesa's work with shelters and those in need. Since 2015, Leesa has donated more than 40,000 mattresses to ensure children and families have a safe place to sleep. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Leesa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit leesa.com/iHeart. That's leesa.com/iHeart.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack.
Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Jeff, along the lines of the backcourt, you've mentioned a couple of times, you know, kind of waiting for Markell and Gary to get back. Markell in particular, like, you know, what does that change? What about Markell's game that, as you see him fitting in with our really talented front court, what do you see? What changes the dynamic with him on the floor?
Well, you guys know as well as I do. I mean, Markell, I would say the way that we're currently constructed kind of like snaps the team into place, you know. And, you know, if I do feel like we're trying to move away from like these positional identifications with our team. And I think that's where the league is going. That said, if there's anyone who's going to like answer that question that you guys alluded to earlier, it's put Markell on the floor and that'll give you a little better understanding of it. And so, you know, I feel like, you know, Markell has, again, you know, really turned a corner. Like this summer, Markell came back 10 pounds lighter and with a crazy focus, you know. And these again, I hate to, you know, sound like a broken record here, but, you know, it ain't because it's a grown man's league. It ain't because it's so physical now. It's because learning what wins in the NBA, it's that role orientation, and guys don't get it overnight generally. So, you know, I think our young guys are really like turning that corner. And I think Markell may be at the front of that line, just understanding the discipline off the court, you know, the focus that you bring back. And I know how eager he was to kind of just, you know, explode out of the gates this year. And so it's unfortunate that he had that little setback, but, you know, not too serious of an injury. Hopefully it won't be too long. And I think that when he does come back, we'll get a real look at, you know, putting more of a rhythm on the court. You know, obviously, he's such a talented guy. He's so versatile. And as I said, I think he kind of like snaps the team into place a little bit. So, and obviously we want to run and he can, you know, push that tempo with a lot of the other guys and just another, you know, swing, playmaker, you know, decision maker, creator. So obviously I don't think I said a whole lot that you guys aren't aware of, but, you know, it'll be fun to get him back and you know, have him see what he looks like with the rest of the guys right now.
Yeah, we opened up.
Oh, go ahead, Drew.
We opened up we told fans that we were going to have you on the Pod Squad. So we opened it up for questions from them. And we had many asking about Bol Bol. And he's definitely a curiosity amongst fans. And we haven't gotten to see him only, you know, until recently, because we didn't get to see him last year. What are your impressions so far of Bol and how he's progressing? And what do you think he can add to our club?
Yeah, I think that Bol is like a super intriguing guy. This is a guy that really like going into, I don't know if those guys keep these things, but if you were to go into his college season, he was the number one pick in the draft, you know, preseason. And so you see that talent on the court. And I think Bol is another guy who has really like turned a corner. He had a great summer. I mean, he's a very smart, discerning young man. And, he has a ton of talent, and I think that it benefits him that he's in a situation where we're trying to grow a young team, and we're understanding what comes with that. You know, obviously, like when he was in Denver, it's hard because they're going for the title, they're going for the ring, and you know, young guys need reps and they need to get on the court to be able to figure some stuff out. And I think, you know, right place, right time for Bol is what we're hoping. But I can say that he has been really receptive to coaching. He's a very focused worker. He not just on the court, but regarding the performance staff and in the weight room. And he's really put the time in. And I think that you even see, even in these couple preseason games, you know, he sprints both ways. He stays low. He's really working on these things to take care of like the details that he knows are going to put him in a better place. So I'm really excited about him. I think that he's really yet to like show anybody like who he can become, because again, I think that most of the, you know, I'd say like the mistakes of omission rather than commission, which I love. I think like he's overpassing, you know, he's maybe thinking a little too much, you know, he's not playing instinct based basketball yet. I love that, because that means he's trying to think about like, what does the coach want me to do? How am I helping my teammates? But all these young guys, as they get these reps, they're going to get past that. And then just their natural ability is going to start to emerge. And this kid has so much ability. I mean, there's really not much he can't do with like a 7'2", you know, frame and a 7'8" wingspan. And, you know, he's got skills and shooting profile and, you know, a whole bunch of ability. So, you know, I think he's on the right track. You know, our coaches have done a great job with him. And, you know, I'm excited about him. And again, I think another guy for the fans to really enjoy, you know, kind of being at the ground floor with a kid like that.
Did you guys get as excited as I did in the game against San Antonio when you saw Bol's arms go straight up in the air next to Mo Bamba's arms straight up in the air? And I think all four hands got on top of the ball and threw it straight down. That was my favorite part. Of the Spurs game.
Jeff, in your travels, had you met his dad? Did you ever know Manute? Ever have any interactions with Manute?
You know, it's so funny. Manute had one of my favorite NBA stories is this will kind of talk about how old we all are, but is when Manute first came into the league, there was a player that like drove down, put it up, and Manute blocked it. The guy got his own rebound back. Manute blocked it. The guy got his own rebound back, went back up. Manute blocked it, and like so he got shot blocked three times on one possession, and they're running back up court, and Manute looks at the guy and he says, "Don't you get cable?"
Did he really?
That's awesome. Like a famous so long story short, I actually met Manute when I was a video coordinator for the Clippers way back when, just because I was so like fascinated by the guy. And he was such a revolutionary player. He could only probably be that way at that time with a revolutionary coach like Don Nelson. But, look, Bol is his own guy. Bol really can do things. Bol is way more talented than his dad was. And the league's changed so much. But the league really lines up for a guy like Bol right now. I mean, this is Bol's coming along at just the right time. You know, so he's got to continue to apply himself the way that he has. And, you know, hopefully good things ahead for him.
You know, his dad was a very good trash talker, too. he learned his English in the locker room and worked well for him on the NBA court.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, JT, that wasn't you, was it? That story was about, was it?
No.
It sounded very familiar.
I've got some good stories for you, but I can't share them on the podcast. So.
We're trying to get ratings up, Jeff. We're trying.
That's right. Yeah, you got to go there. Yeah,
those are the stories we need.
Oh, he was a good one, boy. He could talk some trash. And I know some of our fans back in the old Amway Arena got quite an earful a few times when he was looking over talking to our bench and things. Yeah. So, we'll just leave those for another time.
Salty.
Yeah.
I was going to ask you, Jeff, about kind of back out, look league wide. And when you start thinking about the best players in the NBA today, a lot of them are European. I mean, you got Giannis, you got Doncic, you've got Jokic. That, you know, that they might be 1, 2, 3 right now. You could argue. We're talking about Wembanyama from France. What is happening in the game of basketball? Has there been a sea change in terms of European basketball overtaking American? Is that possible? Overtaking American basketball, U.S. basketball?
It's so funny. It's such a great question, David, and it's so interesting to think about the way that our game has morphed. And you think about when these guys were coming into the league 20 years ago, all these guys can't play in the NBA. It's too fast for them. It's too physical. And our game has become their game. You know, I think about like when the ABA was around, the old ABA with the red, white, and blue ball, and people used to laugh at the three-point shot. you know, it's like this gimmicky league, the 3-point shot. And the NBA now is what the ABA was like 40 years ago. And in a lot of ways, like, our game has become the European game. Now the European game is still a walk the ball up the court game by and large. It's much more physical. It's almost like swap places with the NBA. But our game has just become so much more skill-based. You know, the way that the games are officiated now, like, there's less physicality. There's more spacing, there's more IQ, there's more shot creation. Those are the things of value now, obviously shooting. So we've kind of become European basketball. And it's so interesting. If you had scouted Doncic, you know, now, like, you know, he was 18 years old, but, you know, he had all the earmarks of greatness, but he wasn't able to do the things in Europe. And I remember him saying, like, his rookie year, NBA is easier than Europe. And, you know, in some respects, you know, you have to understand, like, what he's talking about, because you can't put your hands on a guy, you know, so many different things that we've become them, where now when these guys come into the league, I think it's less of a transition of a kind of, you know, basketball shock than it was before. It's almost easier for them in some respects, you know. And yeah, that's an interesting point. I mean, we could have, in a few years, maybe like those three guys, and you know, but after this draft, you know, another guy coming in where we could be looking at those being, like, you know, the top four guys. That's really fascinating to think about.
That certainly is. Hey, we got some of these questions, Jeff, and then we'll let you go, from fans, but we got a couple wondering, if you weren't in basketball, what would you be doing? What were some of your other passions? Or thankfully you don't have to think about that, but if you didn't go the NBA route, where would you have gone?
I say this to you guys only. I'd be waiting.
Is that right? Yeah. NBA or bust. That's what it was.
Passion. I just don't know what else I'm qualified to do.
I think a lot of us can
relate to that.
Yeah. Honestly, I feel like one of the great things about the NBA is we get to connect with so many amazing people. And I do know that, you know, one of the hopefully earmarks of anyone who, you know, is trying to break their way into any business is just being inquisitive, asking good questions. And for us in this business, we get to be around so many smart people that it's just fun to ask questions. Who knows where, you know, life takes you these days. And I think the world is so changing with the career, the way that young people look at career paths, you know. Honestly, I have no idea what else I'd be qualified to do.
I hear you. How about
the same answer, Dante? Why do I have the same answer as Jeff?
That's right. This one about your leadership style. What would you say your leadership style is? How do you try to lead the group that you have in basketball ops?
Wow. That's how long you guys got? I mean, I don't have this advanced leadership style or anything like that, you know, but I just feel like we have so many great people in our organization. That's why I say that. You know, what we're hoping to do is, I always say, is create an organization where the right information finds the right people without ego. And so what does that mean? It means no boundaries, no walls between analytics, performance, coaching, player development, management, scouting. We can all sit at one another's tables. We can all drink on one another's meetings. We go out of our way to create platforms, such as our player development protocol, where Anthony Parker's at the hub, that brings everybody to the table. You know, we have learning labs with one of our amazing employees named Harjeev, and we teach each other, you know, how to learn. And also what we're trying to impart to players so that we're all messaging them the same way. And really, a lot of our time goes into just keeping one another on the same page, because it's an amazing thing to think about. Even in the 5 years since I've been with the Magic, our staff size has grown from about, you know, 30 to over 60. That's the way the league is going. Yeah, the staff sizes are just exploding. And so with that, you know, I think more time needs to be devoted towards, you know, keeping us all on the same page. And I really believe that the players feel that. You know, these are guys that are going to, you know, experience how many different faces, how many different conversations does one player go through in a day? And for them to feel that these guys are all on the same page, you know, they're, you know, the conversations are all, you know, flowing in the same direction. And obviously you have your personal conversations and relationships that the team, of course, but like when you're talking about your work, that they all flow in the same way. And with that many people, I think that that's something that we spend a lot of time on. And we empower our people to, you know, look, man, like step up, like, you know, be a part of this player's improvement. And we trust you to be that person. But in order to develop that trust, we all have to be having these conversations a lot. So we try to break down silos and, you know, really open it up so that we're all understanding, you know, this is what our department is trying to do. This is how we're trying to do it. And this is how you guys in this department can help, and vice versa.
Excellent.
Jeff, another fan question here is they want to know what your, if you could describe your game when you were a player, how would you describe your game?
Two words. Xavier Simpson.
Is that right? That was you.
I had that hook shot, man. It was the only way I could get shots off. I had it. I pulled Cole and RJ aside the other day, and I said, if you guys aren't asking Xavier how to shoot that shot, you're making a mistake. It's the only way you can get shots off, man. I don't know if people are embarrassed to shoot it now, but that's easy.
Oh, that's all right.
That's awesome. That's
right. All right, and then last thing, your expectations for the year. I know expectations is a tough word, but when you think about this year, what do you consider a success, and what are you kind of challenging from your team this year?
Well, I think that, you know, and I know we've talked a few times about, you know, getting Gary back and getting Markel back, you know, we have to play better basketball. You know, we have been very intentional about not signing or trading for veteran guys who are going to eat up the reps that our young guys need. And we understand that with those reps, there are going to come growing pains. We understand that. That said, we've definitely got to raise the bar on, you just can't continue to make the same mistakes. And so we'll probably get a little more discerning, you know, as we go forward. And I would say that getting young, talented, smart, high character guys, which we feel we have a bunch of them on our team, getting them their reps, and also implementing a higher standard for understanding what it takes to win. I expect that to happen this year. I'll be very disappointed if that doesn't happen.
Excellent. We did get one that came in here under the gun from David Steele, wants to know if he can use the altitude chamber at the AHTC.
No, I would say yes.
It's the sleep pod that I'm interested in. You can have the altitude chamber.
Oh. You know, we didn't even get into the building. I mean, did we, Jeff? Like, what are your thoughts on the? I mean, I'm speechless every time I walk into the building. What do you think about how the building is? It wilder than you ever thought in your wildest dreams? I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, first of all, I would say David Steele has permission to use the altitude chamber under supervision only.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Kind of like his cell phone. Same thing. Yeah.
But
I need a lot of supervision in every aspect of life.
I will say this. David does not need supervision for the sleep pod. Unfettered.
Good. Yeah, good. Fair enough to go in
there. I mean, George, That place is, you know, you can imagine, we've already gotten requests from teams across the league to come in and check it out. You know, that's what the league has become, right? We all need to provide our guys with the best possible place. The thing I love about our facility, you can see all these pictures and you can see all the technology. Guys, you know as well as I do, in 5 years, the technology is going to be different. Yeah. You know, we're going to have to upgrade whatever it is that we have now because they're going to be something new. But what you can't ever redo, you only get one crack at it when you build these things, is the flow, the light, the indoor outdoor for a warm weather city like ours, and the communal space that it creates. And that's honestly, I've had so many like little kind of like warm little moments already by like just observing the way our players interact with our staff. And it kind of gets back to the last question. It's a really important thing for us is that, you know, our players, like in that huge atrium, they'll take their food and go outside and have, like, you know, I took a picture with like Chuma and Paolo and Gary, you know, like chilling out outside on the patio, you know, and right next to them were our nutritionist and one of our analytics guys. And then, you know, like it's just brought the whole team together in a way that we were exactly hoping, where everybody commingles, and our players are such, you know, they're such good young guys that, you know, I think it's fun for them too, to be able to like interact with the rest of the group. But that's my favorite thing about the place, is the way that it's kind of just, it just brings the whole organization together. And to have the Advent guys, we've already made, you know, use of, you know, having the medical facilities just across the court, you know, that's obviously like a huge boon. But really, I really think that this is one of those places, as the technology gets better and comes and goes, the workflow, the light will make our place, you know, relevant, you know, 20 years from now.
Well, it's an amazing place, and it's best in all of sports, and it's so vast. You had no idea. I brought my family there for the hurricane. So that's where we wrote it out. No, it's an amazing place. Jeff, we can't thank you enough for the time here. This is awesome. Magic fans are excited. I know you feel it amongst the, you know, walking around town. We can't wait to get the season started. Best of luck this year.
Love being with you guys all the time. Thanks so much.
All right. Thanks so much. That'll do it for this edition of Magic Pod Squad.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring, and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.